This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. With an audio glimpse of a new work by playwright Tony Kushner, it takes place in London and in Afghanistan 3 years ago.
From Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, from Turkmenistan through Afghanistan, oil flowing to Pakistan, and never
this I do not
Iran.
Say. I say women are braver than you men of Kabul. Queen Gauharshad rule half the world from Herat. Malalai insist to you, kill the British invaders. She insists, and so they do.
Wait, stop, I don't speak. I speak English. I am English, British. Drop the cigarette, I'll set it on fire. Oh my God.
The name of this play is Homebody Kabul. The homebody, according to the stage directions, is a woman sitting in a pleasant room in her home in London. A comfortable chair, a table nearby, a lamp. She holds a small book.
I speak. I can't help myself. Elliptically, discursively. I've read too many books, and that's not boasting, for I haven't read many books, but I've read too many, exceeding, I think, my capacity for synchresis. Is that a word? Straying, rather, into synchisis, which is a word. So, my diction, my syntax, well, it's so irritating. I apologize, I do. It's very hard, I know, to listen. I blame it on the books. How else to explain it? My parents don't speak like this. No one I know does. No one does. It's an alien influence, and my borders have only ever been broached by books. Sad to say.
This woman imagines Afghanistan for all of Act One. By Act Two, she has gone there, is missing. Her husband and daughter try to find her. The playwright Tony Kushner finished this work last winter. There have been changes since then, but nothing to acknowledge the events of September 11th. Kushner won the Pulitzer and Tony Awards for Angels in America, which was about AIDS in the Reagan years, and although he hasn't been allowed to visit Afghanistan, he has found another political landscape to write about.
I've been thinking about Afghanistan since the mid-80s, and I can remember the moment that I decided to begin work on this particular play was when a British actress, who's a friend of mine, Kika Markham, called me and said that she wanted a monologue. And I don't really remember exactly the moment that I said I'd write about Afghanistan, but I know that at that point, I think it was sort of, it was 1997, the beginning of the protests against, you know, sort of unfettered free market globalization were beginning with the WTO and all that. And I was thinking that it was really probably time to try to write a play that was sort of international in character as opposed to focusing specifically on something in the United States. And I was intrigued at the thought of trying something about a country that wasn't Western. And then I found this guidebook, which is really how the play, I mean, the play sort of falls out of the pages of the guidebook.
I am reading from an outdated guidebook about the city of Kabul in Afghanistan, in the valleys of the Hindu Kush Mountains, a guidebook to a city which, as we all know, has undergone change. Our story begins at the very dawn of history, circa 3000 BC, when the Aryans, not in armies but in family groups, traveled south from beyond the river Oxus to cross the Hindu Kush Mountains on their way to northern India. This crossing must have made a great impression for nearly 2000 years.
I want to ask about the term home body.
I was visiting two friends in France who are Americans who live in France, and they have a farmhouse, and the man was sitting at the breakfast table talking to me and saying that his wife really loved being at the farm in France because she was a real homebody. And at the moment that he was saying this, I was looking over his shoulder out a window, and she was walking out into the middle of a very muddy field in leopard skin pajamas and spike heels with a can of blue paint, going to paint a table that she'd dragged out into the middle of the field. And the last thing in the world that she looked like was a homebody. But it's sort of the word and this peculiar image stuck in my head, and I think that that's the point at which the play got its title.
You're right, she saved abandoned words, and finally she came to Afghanistan. Why would she, as a homebody, go to Afghanistan?
I think all you know of her is what you encounter at the beginning of the play in this hour-long monologue that she delivers, and you sort of come to feel that you know her very well, but you also know almost nothing about her by the time she's done. What I've come to understand about her, I think, is that central to her dilemma is a kind of a paradox of powerlessness, that a lack of agency, a lack of power in the world frequently gives people a certain kind of an insight, a compassion, an understanding of what powerlessness feels like. The problem, of course, is that powerlessness may give one an understanding of suffering, but if one is powerless, one lacks the ability to do anything about the suffering. And I think that what she's struggling with a lot is that dilemma. And she plunges herself into a world of suffering that she's come to through her reading and through her open heart in a way that one might think is sort of foolish.
She is warned a bit about what she's in for, because she's been talking with an Afghan man who's selling hats in London, and he has, three fingers of one hand?
Yeah, she actually doesn't ask him anything. She doesn't even ask him if he's actually Afghan. She imagines the entire thing, and he...
He's had his fingers shorn off.
That's the only piece of information that she gets. She notices as she's paying with her credit card that the man has lost three fingers, that they've been sort of hacked off because the cut is very clean. And this freaks her out at first and then moves her imagination to a kind of wild conjecture about what might conceivably have been the cause of this amputation.
I ask him to tell me what had happened to his hand, and he says, I was with the Mujahideen and the Russians did this. I was with the Mujahideen and an enemy faction of Mujahideen did this. I was with the Russians. I was known to have assisted the Russians. I did informer's work for Babrak Karmal. My name is in the files if they haven't been destroyed. The names I gave are in the files. There are no more files. I stole bread for my starving family. I stole bread from a starving family. I profaned, betrayed. According to some stricture, I erred, and they chopped off the fingers of my hand. Look, look at my country. Look at my cobble, my city. What is left of my city? The streets are as bare as the mountains now. The buildings are as ragged as mountains and as bare and empty of life. There is no life here, only fear. We do not live in the buildings now. We live in terror.
Did you think before, when you were doing all this work, before September 11, did you keep having the feeling that the West was not paying enough attention to Afghanistan and to what was happening with Taliban?
Once the Taliban appeared, even progressive people in Western countries said, well, they're really horrible. They put women in burqas. They lock people away. One should have nothing to do with this country, which is, of course, a very easy solution. You just sort of write them off of your list of, you know, places that you send money to, and then let them rot. And what happens, of course, is that a kind of rot takes place that then eventually explodes in your face. People don't suffer within borders.
Have you had this thought that you are in quite a different situation for a playwright? You will have an audience coming every night in a shifting news situation. So every night will be in a different sort of context about that day's events.
It's very strange. What I thought of as a kind of a minor plot involving the Northern Alliance, I assumed that people watching the play would really not know what the Northern Alliance was or care particularly. And one of the things that I was worried about as a dramatist was that at the moment that this plot line pays off in the third act, how could I make it dramatic enough so that people would pay attention? Well, I don't think I have to worry about that anymore, because the Northern Alliance is now, you know, sort of... I mean, all of these things, listening to Linda read the monologue in the city of Kandahar, I mean, when I first read it in the guidebook, I thought, you know, what a beautiful name. I wonder where it is. I wonder what it is. Does it still exist? I knew nothing about Kandahar. Well, of course, the papers today are full of it. And I think that New Yorkers have gone through something that most Americans have been spared. I mean, it's been a very, very tough time for the city. We suffered. And the collapsing of those towers is something that no one on earth has ever seen before. But we now know something about collateral damage that we didn't, you know. Collateral damage means, you know, burning bodies and, you know, unspeakable things. And I think it's a lesson that the city's, you know, taken very much to heart. So
during the Taliban regime, no Western music, no videotapes, no theater. I suppose?
No theater.
No theater. Would you hope to go there now, and would you eventually hope to see some of your work? That's probably such a preposterous idea to even think about now, but...
Not at all. I mean, Mr. Nisar Zuri, who's our translator, who's helping me, I wrote all the... There are scenes that are in Pashtun and Dari, and I wrote them out in English because I don't speak either language, and I found Mr. Zuri through a series of phone calls. He publishes an Afghan language newspaper in Queens, and he's lived in the United States for over 20 years. And after he had heard a reading of the script, he said, I hope to be the person who translates this play for its premiere in Kabul. And I was sort of stunned by that, incredibly, you know, beautiful thing to imagine that there will be a day when there will be theaters, because there were theaters in Kabul before the Taliban came. And whether or not my plays will be done there, I have absolutely, you know, no idea, but it would certainly be a great thing, obviously. The riddance of the Taliban is a great thing. But the next step is the critical step, I think, which is the establishment not just of a void, but the reconstruction of Afghan society and the world taking responsibility for rebuilding this country, which is, as it says in the play, at the heart of the world. It's not a place that the world can afford. I mean, no country is really a country that the world can afford to abandon. And so that's the next thing. And theaters will follow if the world takes responsibility.
Thank you for talking with us.
It's my pleasure now.
Tony Kushner speaking with us at the New York Theater Workshop. His play titled Homebody Kabul begins preview performances on Wednesday. The opening night is December 19th. We also heard the actors Linda Emond, Bill Camp, Rita Wolf, Kelly Hutchinson, and Dariush Kashani.